Good morning, church. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stand with me as we come together and worship God through song.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names. Blessed Redeemer.
Good morning to everyone here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and good morning to those that are online, wherever you're at. Hi, Kayla. We're glad you're all here today. So at this time, I just would like to thank everyone for being here, and glad you're here. And if you didn't make it this morning, we have some really good, really awesome Sunday school classes, and I was going to say from ages 2 to 102, but I'm going to say 92. I think I'm safe on that. I don't know about 102. We do have some other announcements. Give me a second here. So, a couple things going on. Tomorrow evening, the Savior Stretch is at 6:30 in the Activity Center, led by Karen Walton. And there will also be the MBA rally out at Charity Baptist Church. That's at 6:30 as well. And let's see, Wednesday at 6 p.m., The Chosen Two, and that is led by Richard Hazelwood, who I do not see right now. But that's okay. If you want to know more about that, that's at Wednesday at 6. And then the Women's Priority Conference, it's in Springfield, Illinois at the Bank of Springfield Center. I know there's probably still the opportunity for you to attend that. I know Lisa Woodman would be a good one to talk to. If not, Terry in the church office. So if you want some more information about that. I'm going to go ahead and lead us in our word of prayer as deacon, but this week, just kind of an emphasis on the choose your one. I have a person, her name is Alicia, and no, it's not Alicia Woodman, and it's kind of a person that sometimes I don't see this person very often, and I was at school this week, and for no reason, she came in the door. So obviously, I wasn't able to witness to her right there on the spot with a classroom full of second graders, but if nothing else, it just gave me a reminder that we need to be in prayer for those individuals. You never know when you might see them, and you never know who might be coming into their life on an everyday basis. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together today, not only to hear the message that's been laid upon Pastor Cliff's heart, but also to sing songs with fellow believers. And, you know, above all, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, we just hope that through song, through the message, that you're going to prepare their hearts and minds for the words that have been laid upon Cliff, that through this, they might be able to grow closer to you. It might not be today, it might be in the future, but put individuals in their hearts that can witness to those individuals. We just also like to be with the tithes and offerings that are going to be given today, that through this, others might have the opportunity to know you as well. In your name, amen.
Okay, please stand with me once again. We'll continue to worship through song.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. From age to age, He stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. The name above.
in the parables of Jesus, all right? We're in the parables of Jesus. This one, we say, how great is our God? This is one of those parables where you see how great God is. You see the greatness of God and His relation to us. So this parable, like the other parables, the Good Samaritan, the sower, the soils, and the seed, all of these parables are parables I think you probably know. That's not a guarantee. So we're going to talk about the prodigal son. Many of you know that, but if you don't, that's okay, because it's an easy parable. It's a memorable parable. Once you've heard it, you'll remember it, okay? So we're going to talk about that. So the prodigal son, and it's in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, it's the only one of the Gospels that includes that. When we were talking about the sower and the soils and the seed, that was included in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This one is only in the book of Luke. So Luke chapter 15, you're following along in your Bibles. How many of you have lost anything? Right? Yeah. How many of you would lost? Never mind. Okay. Outside in the hallway, by the way, there's a lost and found stuff. There is a scarf and a pair of gloves. It has been there forever. Okay? It's somebody forgotten it and they've lost it. So in the parables that we're going to look at, there is a celebration connected with something that was lost. So I've lost lots of things, and I didn't throw a party for that. I mean, I found that it was great. You know, the screw I needed for the windshield on the motorcycle, it wasn't too lost, but I found it. And I'm getting there, okay? My wife is telling me what story I should tell, okay? So anyway, it's nice to be coached, right? Do you remember that? We went over this. She rehearsed it with me earlier. That's what we're getting there. Anyway, okay. I'm going to tell you this story, and some of you I've told this story to. Lisa and I went down to the Ark. We spent a day down there, toured the Ark. We went twice in the same day. There wasn't anybody there on a Tuesday. There wasn't anybody there in March. There wasn't anybody there. So there was people, but not like lots of people. And anyway, we went twice, and we made it back. We went through LaGrange, came back home, did home things, and then it was time for church on Sunday morning. Now, Lisa was not well, so it was Alicia and I headed out the door. And it dawned on me at that point that I hadn't put my wedding ring back on. So this is why she's pointing at her finger, okay? And I'm like, okay, I'll go back in the house and get it. I go back into the house, and it's not there. And I'm looking around frantically. I cannot find the ring. So I move on. I have to, you know, because I got to be here. So move on. Eventually what I did was I took another ring that I had, and I would just wear it upside down for a little while, you know. Because, yeah. You know, you improvise, right? So you improvise with that. I can't figure out why I can't find this. I went as far. It was I usually kept it in the study. That's just where I kept it. And I'd went as far as taking off the register to the heating duct and going down there. And I didn't find anything that I'd lost before. Didn't find anything but some dust, right? But no ring. So it's also the year that Lisa gets her doctorate thing. We got to go down and do this fancy thing and then take off to Branson. This time we're going to go to Branson and we're watching, was it Jesus that we watched? Yeah, we watched Jesus. She rehearsed this with me, okay? But anyway, we're doing this and so we find one of those chain jewelry stores at the outlet mall at Branson. We walk in there and there's a guy in there that used to live up in Brighton. So now we've made a connection. And they happen to have a ring that slides on my finger. He made me a deal on it. So I have a replacement ring for $120. Okay, quality stuff. It was nice, though. So I still haven't found the ring. Still haven't found the ring. Well, I moved my office from upstairs to downstairs. I looked for the ring. I did not find the ring. Let's see the story. No. So if anybody sees it, no. Here's the deal. Now that I've been down in my office for a while, I begin to move stuff around. And I move some papers. And guess what I found? I found the ring. Too late to take the other one back. But I found the ring. You know, and you know, that was one of those things where I didn't throw a party because she spends too much on parties, okay? But I celebrated, right? I celebrated that I found the ring that was lost. And it had been lost for about a year, maybe longer than a year. It had been lost. And I kept looking for it. I'm thinking, it's got to show up someplace. Someplace around here, it's here, you know? It's someplace. And I couldn't. But when I found it, it's like I told her. Matter of fact, I think I just showed it to her. And then she's like, what's that? Yeah, I know you're married to me. Okay? Sometimes I'm happy about it. So anyway, we celebrated the ring. All of you have probably not that story, but all of you have a story, and that's what Jesus is going to talk about, is something that was lost and the finding of it and the celebration of that. So this parable that we're going to walk into, it's one of the longest. It's one of the most known. It's, again, one of the most known parables. But there is certainly power in this parable and the story it tells about lostness and about being found, okay, about lostness and being found. So what we're going to do, I told you in Luke chapter 15, I want to read to us the first three verses. Now, this is not the parable, but this is the introduction to the parable. I think in one of the notes that I put out there, the study notes back when we first started doing parables, there was a lesson about how to figure out what a parable's talking about. And so in it, it's important to understand the context. Who is he speaking to, and what question might he have been addressing? So in these first three verses, particularly the first two, you're going to see who the audience is. The audience is going to be important to us when we read the parable of the prodigal son. So here it is, verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. So the crowds are coming in, and guess who is in the crowds? Sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors were a little bit lower than sinners. Still are. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. It's one thing to talk to them. It's another to sit down and have dinner with them. Okay, so the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people of the day, were hanging out listening to Jesus too, but they're not happy with the Pharisees, they're not happy, excuse me, with the tax collectors and the sinners. And they, do you know anybody that grumbles? Elbow them, okay? That's it, right? So they're complaining about that. And then, so the verse 3 says, so he told them this parable saying. Now he tells two parables, and we'll come back and talk about those two parables. But I want to get to verse 11 where he talks about the prodigal. This is the longer of the three parables. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am here dying with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. So that's the end of the parable. I think you could tell that story. The young son takes off with the money, squanders it, ends up in a bad place, comes to his senses, goes back to his father. His father receives him, throws a party. The older son, who's been there the whole time, is not happy about it. That's kind of how it ends. So that's the parable in a nutshell. Now, as we walk through this, the context is important. We remember that the Pharisees and the scribes were there, and they were grumbling because there were tax collectors and sinners also in the audience. And as a matter of fact, Jesus was eating with them. And their grumbling caused Jesus to respond to the grumbling, because guess what? You could be in the back row of the crowd. I can't hear you, but Jesus can. He knows. Countless times when you read through the Gospels, when people begin to talk amongst themselves, Jesus addresses the talk that they don't think he can hear. He is the Son of God, right? He knows what's going on. And so he knows that they're grumbling. And so he tells three parables, two of which we skipped over, and I'm going to give you the cliff notes, okay, for these. So here's what happens. There is the lost sheep. There's 100 sheep. One strays off. It's a loss, right? That's what you guys, the farmers, just counted as a loss, right? It's a tax deduction at that point. Jesus tells the parable, and that's a surprise. Whenever Jesus tells a parable, there's always some kind of surprise in that. And in this parable of the 100 sheep and the one walks off, the shepherd leaves the sheep and he hunts for the one sheep. He puts it on his shoulders and he comes back and he throws a party, because that sheep has been found. And then there's the story of the lost coin. A woman loses a coin. She did like I did the same thing. I swept the floor looking for the ring. She sweeps the floor looking for the coin. When she finds one of the 10 coins that she had that was lost, she invites her neighbors and throws a party. All I can say is parties must have been cheaper back then. Okay? I mean, I'm looking at going, it's almost, you lost more in the party than you did in the coin. But hey, the idea behind that is not how much it costs. It's the idea that it celebrates. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Something that was lost, the sheep and the coin, in both parables were lost. And when they were found, there was a party. Okay? There was a celebration because what was lost had been found. And that sets us up for the one that we read about the prodigal son. Let's look at the points, okay? The structure of both of those parables. In that, we see that the coin or the sheep belonged to the woman or to the shepherd. It belonged. It was lost. Clearly stated, the sheep was lost. It wasn't anywhere to be found. And so was the coin. There was a search for both of those things. Then there was the finding of the sheep and of the coin. And then there was a celebration. Now, when we go into the parable of the prodigal son, which we read through, and if you remember the details, what's the difference in the structure? What's the difference in the structure? So what we have is belong still. Flip the slide there. We have belong. The prodigal son belonged to a family, did he not? He had a father and an older brother. He belonged to a family. He was lost, and that's what's clear when the father says he's been lost and now he's found. So he too, like the sheep and like the coin, is lost. Now here's the difference. In this parable, the father doesn't run out and look for him. The older son doesn't run out and look for him. Rather, the prodigal comes to his senses, and he devises a plan to come back. And the son returns. Okay, the son returns. That's the difference in the parable, the structure of this parable and the other parables. Now, in the other parables, it ends with a celebration. It ends with a celebration. In this parable, we have a celebration, and we have a curmudgeon. I ain't celebrating him coming back. Okay? We have a celebration or not. Okay? Or not. So that's the structure in the parable that we read. Now, in the parables, it's also important to understand the characters. We can go way off and chase down a lot of rabbits with all of the components of the parable. We're going to simplify this, and we're going to look at the three characters in the parable. Right? We're going to look at the son, the prodigal son, the son that left, the younger son. We're going to look at the older son, and we're going to look at the father in this parable. And we're going to understand, because at the end of the day, here's what I want to ask you. Which one are you most like? Which one are you most like? So let's talk about the younger son, or the prodigal son. The younger son is the prodigal son. And by the way, prodigal doesn't mean return. It means greedy. All right, just that's kind of the word there, the indulgent one. They guess he's about 18 years old. Now, in this, what we want to understand is the characters identify. You ever watch The Wizard of Oz? Right? You know, I mean, most of you watch The Wizard of Oz. I don't know what age I was when I realized that the people in there, the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow, and the lady on the bicycle, and all that other stuff, the Wicked Witch of the West, and so forth, they were characters that you were presented with at the very beginning and at the very end. I was a little kid when I was watching. So when we talk about the younger son of the prodigal here, what we want to identify is that we have three things that we're looking at. The younger son, we're looking at the older son, and we're looking at the father. In the crowd, when we read those first two verses, who do we have in the audience? Who do we have? Who's the setting? We have Jesus, because he's telling. We have the Pharisees and the scribes, and we have the tax collectors and the sinners. So what I want to do is I want to identify one of those three with this one. I'm going to go with this represents in the parable the tax collectors and the sinners, the ones that are grumbled about. So let's look at what happens to the prodigal son or the younger son in the story here. He asked for his share. Significant. He's asking for his inheritance. In Jewish tradition, the older son got two-thirds and the younger son got one-third. That's how it worked out. That's what I was told. So, how many of you can spend your life insurance money before you die? Let me know, because I'd like to do that. You can't do it. But yet the son asks for his inheritance before his father does what? Before his father dies. That doesn't make any sense. So imagine the listeners listening to Jesus saying, you know, just as he's telling the story, the younger son asked for his inheritance. And the father should say, absolutely not, I'm not dead yet. But he does. He goes ahead and gives him his inheritance. And that tells us that the younger son considered at this point his father to be dead. That's significant. That's the break that's happening. And it says that it took a few days, which means likely that he cashed out everything that was his. And then he took that money, he left, and he squandered it. You know what that means? He wasted it. It's like giving a kid $20 at a carnival. What's he going to come back with? A stomachache. Okay? He's not going to come back with anything good. He's just going to come back in bad shape. And so he squanders everything he rolls in with. He lives the high life for a little bit of time before all of that money is gone. Squanders the money. Now a famine comes. This is what I love about this parable. You know, in the first two parables, the father or the shepherd or the woman puts effort into it. Do you know that in your life, when you walk away, that God has the capacity to move things in your life to bring your attention back? Yeah, think about that. Well, sometimes when things are happening in your life, it might be good to consider who wants my attention and why? And then to respond accordingly. So a famine comes. He's got no money. He's impoverished. So he looks for a job. He looks for a help wanted sign. He ends up helping a non-Jewish guy. How do I know that? Because this guy's raising pigs. Lashanda, Laquanda, and never mind. But he's raising pigs. So he's out there feeding them pods, apparently carob pods. That's what the pigs eat anything. Right? So there he wants those, but he can't get it. They're not even giving that to him. He's famished and he's dying. And at that point, when he's at his lowest point, that's when we begin to listen, isn't it? At our lowest point, we often come to our senses. And so this younger son who thought life was made to party went out and squandered everything. And in his lowest moments, he came to his senses, devised a plan to return back to his father to be the hired man. I don't want to go back as a son because I know the guys that worked for my dad, they had food in the stomach. That's what I'm looking for now. That's all that I'm looking for. And so he heads back. Okay, he heads back. The wayward sinner returns. That's what this parable is about. When we look at if this guy represents the tax collectors and the sinners, it's a story about a sinner realizing his lostness and seeking out the Father's forgiveness. Today, we're going to give an invitation at the end of the service. Adam's going to come up and sing the music. We're not doing that now, okay? But Adam's going to come up, and we're going to give that invitation. That invitation is if you fall into this category of the prodigal son, the one who's walked away from the father and is in that point where I hope you're not at your lowest point, but you may be. Here's the invite. I want you to come back to God because you were his creation. He created you. Sin broke that bond. We have to seek God out. And we're invited to do so. And so as you look at this story about this prodigal, it is that story about, hey, I need to get back. I need to get to where God, when we do the three circles, it's God's design. You were designed to be in God, in fellowship with God. Sin broke that and put you in this circle of brokenness. And in a circle of brokenness, you try to get out of it. You try to fix it in this brokenness. You try all these things, and nothing cuts it. And so you're stuck there. Well, I'm here to tell you about the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. That's the other circle. How do you get to the circle from the brokenness to the gospel? You get there because you repent and believe. That's what I'm inviting you to do. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to repent and believe. And then once you're in that gospel story, it's the connector back to you. God's design. We pursue who God made us to be. It's that process of the big word sanctification. Okay, that's what we're talking about. So as you look at the story, it's also some of you going, okay, you've heard the story before. It's the story of the person who needs to rededicate their life to God. Okay, that's that invitation to do that also as we look at that. It's the idea of getting right our relationship with God. That's what we'll do the invitation for. Know that that's open. Let's talk about the older son. Okay, the older son, he's there the whole time. Let's look at what happens when he comes back. The older son, we have to match up. In the beginning verses, we had the tax collector and sinners. We've X'd them out because that's the younger son. Now we have left Jesus and the Pharisees. So the older son, is he Jesus or is he the Pharisees? He's the Pharisees, okay? We're going to identify there. So here's what we see. When the part, we don't know much about him other than that he exists until the end of the story when it's after the younger son returns. And there's a lot of noise going on. Apparently, they had booming speakers in the house, okay? Because he hears the music as he's walking in from the field someplace. He finds out what's going on. What's his response? It's not the same response that the father had. In other words, it's the exact opposite. He responds in anger. He rejects the fact that his younger son, his younger brother has come back. He's not keen on that. Matter of fact, there's a disrespect going on in here because the father is still head of the household, is he not? His actions should mirror that of the father. But yet the actions of the older son are the exact opposite of the father. He's not happy about it. He rejects it. His dad comes out and the father comes out and pleads with the older son, come on in and let's celebrate what's happened to your brother. He was lost. He's now found. He was dead. And now he's been made to live. The terminology that's being used there, the complete and dramatic change that's happened in your life, didn't know that it was going to take place. We never know if the lost person's going to come back. But when he does, we ought to celebrate. But yet this brother doesn't want to do that. Matter of fact, he goes all self-righteous. He says the whole time he's been out partying with prostitutes, which are not mentioned until he mentions. Okay, when he tells us that detail, it's all that, look, I've been here the whole time, and you've not done a thing for me. I've kept every one of your commands. I've kept every one of your commands. Now, if I identify that with the Pharisees, it is the religious people that parade around with the facade of a relationship with God, a relationship with the Father, and when it comes down to it, they're just going through the motions. That could be us. Because when we see God doing things, if it doesn't move us to celebration, something's not clicking there. These guys, and this is what Jesus is talking about as he tells the three parables. Pharisees, you ought to be excited that the sinners and tax collectors are coming out to hear the gospel message. They're coming out to get their lives changed. They're coming out to hear the message so they can repent. And that's what they're doing. They're responding to the message of God. Yet you sit there all curmudgeon-like with your arms crossed and not happy that they're here. You're like the older son here. When the younger son shows back up, when the younger son comes to his senses and comes back to the father, and he's not expecting to be made. He's not expecting a party to be thrown. He's not expecting to have the robe put on or the fattened calf killed. He just wants to come in under the wire and live out in the servants' quarters and just have some food. And the older son responds in a way that takes the party out. There's nothing to celebrate for him. Look at me and look what I've done. Look at him. We need to celebrate what God does. I'm guilty. When we get to baptize people here, when they're a little smaller than I am, they make it up to the second step before they land. Why is that? Because I want to show off all my time out at the gym. That would be not right. But do you realize what's going on there? Their old life, life without Jesus, has been buried, and now they become a new creature. And I can't help but get them up that high. Okay? I'd love to lift all of you that high. I've not been to the gym. Okay? That's a celebration. We need to celebrate what God is doing. And that's what the older son is not doing at all. Let's look at the third person in the story, and that's the father. We've wiped out the Pharisees because they're the older son. The Pharisees and the scribes are represented by the older son. The younger son represents the tax collectors and the sinners. And so that leaves the father left to represent who? Jesus Christ himself. And let's look at how Jesus works in this parable, because I want to know about Jesus. How great is our God? I want to know how great is our God. And this parable tells me how great our God is, how great Jesus is. Let's look at what happens here. He allows, you know that idea of free will? There it is. Father, the son comes and asks for a request that should not have ever been granted, but yet the father allows him. And he does so. He gives of his wealth that he needs to be living off of and gives it to his son and allows his son to walk off. Now, we don't know much else other than when we see the son returning, and he is waiting. Did you love that? You know that ring that I was looking for? I was always looking for the ring. Always looking for the ring. It was always on my mind. Every time I slipped on the other ring, that ring, the ring, the original ring was on my mind. It represented more than... You know, I was attached to it. This is one that Lisa picked out for me. And anyway, I'm always looking for that. When I look at this story, it's not that the father just said, hey, go your way. Because oftentimes when something like that happens, when somebody crosses us and does something like that and says, I don't want anything more to do with you. Matter of fact, I consider you as dead to me. Don't call me. Don't reach out to me. Don't mail me. Don't come look for me. That's essentially what the younger son did. And the father did what? He waited day in and day out to see his son come back. Adam and I have a little side going here. And he asked me last week if I had another Charlie Peacock song that he could not play. Okay? And so I sent him a note this week and I said, hey, do you know When God Ran by Benny Hester? He didn't know. He knows now. But, you know, and we can see, I got the same result. Anyway, this is... I remember that song when I'm reading it because I loved the imagery from it. Okay, love the imagery from it. It's not necessarily my style of music, but I love the imagery. And we read it here. So when he's waiting for the son to return, and the son, he sees the son at a distance. He's taken all of your money. He's wasted all of your money. And he's only coming back here because he's broke. How are you going to greet him? I told you so. Think about that. I think about how you would do in that place. Because I'd probably lean a little bit more towards the older son. And I would be ready for the... How many of you like giving lectures? You got a lecture saved up, right? Okay. Yeah, we've been there, right? You got one in your back pocket. You're just waiting to use it. And here you are. And here's your son who's left everything and considered you dead. And now he's coming crawling back. And instead of standing there and waiting for him and giving him the cold shoulder, the father does what? He runs down the driveway, runs down the road. And he, you know, can you imagine what the son's feeling like? I don't know if this is good or bad. Because he's coming running at me. But when he gets there, he runs to him and wraps his arms, his ever-loving arms around his son who was lost and has now been found. There's the celebration, folks. He wraps his arms around him and he hugs him. And his son is asking for forgiveness. His son is pleading. He's repented. He's coming back. And he says, I just want to be your servant. And his father, with his arms still wrapped around him, tells the servant, you get the best robe and put it on him. Because you can imagine, he's been hanging out with swine. He doesn't smell all that good. You get the best robe and you put it on him. And you get the best. We're going to prepare the best meal. Strike up the band and we're going to celebrate. That's exactly how the father responds to the sinner who repents. That's the story. What was lost has been found. He pleads. He pleads with the older brother, celebrate, see what has happened. See the transformation. See the life out of the deadness. See that we found the son that was lost. Man. It's a little exciting. Okay? That's the parable. That's the characters. That's the application. What do I want? What do we need to do with that? Well, if you're other than the Father in this position, you need to repent. If you ran away from God, it's time to come back. If you're not part of God's family, it's time to be part of God's family. If you're not happy about sinners coming to get their lives changed, then you need to repent. Okay, that's the idea behind it. If you know somebody that's in one of these cases, you need to pray for them. So here's your action steps. What I want you to do this week is realize and repent. That's what that younger son did. He realized the mess he was in. And what did he do? Rather than staying in that mess, because here's what happens. I know I'm in a brokenness. I know my life's a mess. I'm not going to do anything about it. I like my life a mess. When you realize your life's a mess and it's broken, you need to do what he did and repent. I'm going to ask you this. What would you do when the younger son comes back? Would you celebrate or not? Because that's our choice in this parable. And if we read the first two parables about the lost sheep and the lost coin, we know that the right response is to celebrate. But yet, we have one of the characters in the story that decides not to celebrate. So I'm asking you there. Are you like Jesus? This is the question we're going to circle back to. Are you like Jesus? Were you looking for the return? Were you praying for the return? Were you happy about the return? Are you like the sinner who needs to return? You got to do that first before you can move to the other. Are you like the Pharisee who God is only for you and not anybody else? Who you have a relationship with, what, but it's not really all that deep. Because your character and his character are not the same. Because the Father celebrated. The son who said he loved the father did not. I'm asking you that question. As Adam comes, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. How are we going to respond to this powerful parable that Jesus told? It's timeless. We can identify with every one of those characters in the story. Let's stand.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
One more time, and here's, because I only asked you for certain things that we did here, but if God has moved you in some other way to the mission field, to the pastor, whatever it might be, Maybe to pray for somebody. I want to give you that chance. I remember singing this song when I first started attending church. And there's like 16 verses, okay? Good verses. It's a great message. And it's the idea that we need to come just as we are. I've told you the story about how my mom cleaned me up before we went to the hospital. You don't have to be cleaned up to come. This young man, this prodigal son who returned, he was not cleaned up, but he was welcomed back. Let's sing.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
For this day, Father, I pray that the message of the parable, the other things that we've learned in Sunday school, Father, would carry throughout this week. Lord, you would empower us to be your servant. Father, to work through us, Lord, that we might win, that we might be part of your plan to win somebody back to you. Father, that we might be there to see and be there to celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things as we go out here. Here's your this week's reading. Tomorrow night, the Savior Stretch, but also invite you out. You don't have to be a board member. Show up out at charity. We'll have refreshments at the end, and you'll hear what the association is in the process of doing. We went through the refocus process. We're not complete, but there's things, if you want to know what the association, show up, okay? And then that'll get explained to you. You'll get to see who makes up the association, who the other people are, and our people that are in there, so show up to that. Wednesday night, just so you remember, we moved, we're trying this out. I don't know how we did it as Baptists, but we changed the time, okay? So we went from 6:30 start time for watching the Chosen. It's a great thing. We're walking through the Gospels, right? We're seeing it acted out on film, all right? And so it starts at 6 o'clock. Which means you won't get out any earlier. No, it means you'll get out a little earlier than we've been getting out. So I encourage you to come at 6 o'clock and participate in that. If you're a woman and would like to, I'll be at Priority, and I'm not a woman, but I'm just guiding people around. But there's some sheets over here anyway about Priority. You can talk to Lisa. You can talk to some Donna back there has been the Priority. Linda's been the Priority. And you would recommend going, right? Okay, shake your head so they can hear it. Okay. All right, so they have been. They would encourage you to go and be part of that. Otherwise, you can call the office. You can look online at ibsa.org. Thank you for being here. You all come back next week and bring somebody with you, okay? How's that work? Thank you.